Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
How you doing, all you President Biden fans out there? How are you guys today? You feeling good about that? Ladies and gentlemen, President of the United States, Joe Biden. How's that feel? How are you wearing that today? Well, it is Theology Thursday, so we're going to step back a little bit from the precipice of our ongoing political conversations. By the way, newsflash, I know I've been pounding the tar out of politics on this show for about the past 4 months because when it's time to strike, you strike, okay? But that's not the normal tone of this show. I do not talk about politics every day. Ultimately, it's not very healthy for you. It's definitely not very healthy for me. And by the way, when it comes to politics, the state of the nation, don't sell, and I'm talking to myself right now, okay? Don't sell your joy in the Lord down the river for a bowl of stew. And in this case, the bowl of stew is the United States of America. It matters because we have a country full of 340 million people, every single one of them made in the image of God with inestimable worth, which is why we engage the life issue and other issues. And it matters. But don't get caught up in the notion that we'll talk about and we'll spend money on and we'll invest in saving America and won't give two hoots about seeing Americans saved. So please get your house in order. I need to check on my own life as a Christian, too. Primary kingdom residence is the kingdom of God. Secondary citizenship is in the United States of America. Okay, I'm just going to keep reminding you of that. So once we get past this period, this transition, whatever it is, another week, another 3 weeks into December, God only knows, God help us, then I won't be talking about politics. Back to a normal balance, but when the time is right, you have to do it with the state of the nation at play. Today on Theology Thursday, pastoring in perilous times, somebody that apparently doesn't have a big problem with that, is Pastor Chad Harvey here in Raleigh, North Carolina, RFA Church. Chad, good to see you.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me,
Steve. You're vertical? You got out of bed?
Man, listen to
Xanax.
Hey, look, I did everything I was supposed to do. I stood for truth. I got it out there. Obedience is my responsibility. The results are God's responsibility. And so, man, you know, it's interesting. I got to send this over to you. We had ABC's Nightline on Sunday come to our church. They interviewed me.
Why were they there?
Charlie Kirk. It's because Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk was there.
Actually, no, it wasn't for Charlie Kirk. They just said, we want to get an evangelical perspective on the election. And so Charlie Kirk just happened to be there. And Byron Pitts from, used to be 60 Minutes. He's now
on the heels
Nightline.
Of Eric Trump, by the way.
Yeah.
On the heels of a couple other things.
Steve, everybody said, don't have them in. They're the media. They'll do a hatchet job. They're going to tear you apart. I'll be honest with you, and I need to try to send you the Nightline thing. They were really, really fair to us.
Wow.
But the guy called me, the reporter called me yesterday, said, Chad, I want to do a follow-up story. Yeah. And he said, are you okay? I said, what do you mean? Well, it looks like Trump's going to lose.
Oh,
are you evangelical? Are you okay?
I said,
man, God is sovereign. Here's what I told him. I said, Romans 8:28 says, God calls us all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
And the reporter said, man, that's beautiful. Where is that? What coffee mug did you get that off of? And I said, no, that's Romans 8:28, man. I mean, I think he got it off the same coffee mug. You know, there was one set
Paul
of footprints because
right.
I carried you.
Right.
And what I wanted him to know, and I told him this, I said, look, the gospel is not dependent upon who's in the White House. In fact, this election has absolutely no bearing on the advancement of the gospel. I said, God's in charge. God's in control. I'm not stressed out.
Yeah. And that was probably a shock to him.
It was, honestly. It really was.
And that's a bar that we all need to be working towards getting over. Again, I am not dismissing the seriousness of this. I think it's an existential threat. I have been praising the Lord since about, I don't know, 3 a.m. on November 4th, that it sure looks like the Republicans are going to retain control of the Senate. Because if Joe Biden wins, and I actually think he's going to, and I know a lot of people, just don't lose your junk, okay? If he wins, then that's the only stopgap measure in place.
Absolutely.
Is the U.S. Senate, which is going to cause complete stalemate, which is great in the Congress. He'll go ballistic with his running partner, Kamala Harris, with all the executive orders they can. They'll refund Planned Parenthood to the tune of $50 or $60 million. They'll re-engage the Mexico City policy so that we can spend federal dollars on abortion around the world. They'll do everything that they can from the White House, but they won't do jack in Congress, and praise the Lord for it. But how did you react as this started to unfold? And again, I mean, I personally don't expect to see Trump get a second term. Maybe he will. Nevertheless, how did you respond, and how do you kind of work through this? You opened your church. I mean, there's been a lot of challenges.
Well, you know, look, this has been the hardest year to ever pastor. When people give their pastors grief for shutting the church, opening the church, blah, 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 I said, look, man, this has been the hardest year to ever pastor. You've had the racist you've had to deal with as pastors. We've got the election thing we've had to deal with as pastors. We had COVID thing. And so I said, give your pastors some break here. But, Steve, how do I handle this? Let me just say this. It helps me to see the big picture. Put kingdom gospel stuff aside. Your friend Steve Dace tweeted this out. He said, quote, and I think this is a good perspective, the same people who gave you fake COVID models and fake polls this year are now in the third and final stage of their 2020 master plan. It helps me to see that there has actually been some type of concerted plan. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but you're not going to convince me there has not been some type of concerted plan. I don't know if they all flew their black helicopters to the underground bunkers or if this is just a satanic understanding here, but here's what's bothered me. There has been some type of master plan. Who's been complicit in this? The media has. Big tech has. The political establishment has. And unwittingly, I don't think this has been intentional, but I got to say this. The evangelical church has played a role in this thing. When we ally ourselves with Marxist organizations and we wholesale shut down our churches, whether we know it or not, we have played into this master plan.
Yeah, you kind of bow the knee without thinking about or knowing that you're bowing the knee.
Absolutely.
And I agree 100%. There are definitely spiritual forces of darkness. And you say, are you calling the Democrat Party and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris evil? Yes,
yeah.
I am. I'm now not. Is Joe Biden out there like trying to kill babies and drink their blood and stuff? All you QAnon folks? No, I'm not saying that. But if you're not full of the Holy Spirit and completely given over to trying to follow the dictates of your faith through the Word of God, then you're a puppet.
Yeah.
Jesus said it himself. You're either for me or against me. And if you're not running your political life according to the dictates of the Bible, you're against him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I see that. And when you're against him, you're on the side of the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. That's evil.
Yep. So go back to your question. How do you handle this thing? In my flesh, I've handled it one way. And then Lord kind of smacked me around through his word. And I've got a different way now that I'm handling this thing. When we get back from the break, can I just share three things I'm telling myself and my church?
Yeah, because I'm sure everybody wants to hear those three things. Especially from Pastor Chad, who we're trying our best to make him as famous as possible as he keeps grabbing little clips of Chad, just saying things from the pulpit.
I want to make Jesus famous, man.
That's exactly right. What a great point. I'm such an idiot. That's why Pastor Chad's here to carry the day. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Because you want more. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, in the middle of it all. But that's what God has done with us, right? Remember the deal. If he didn't have work for you to do, he'd save you and pull you out of here. But that's not what he did. So there's kingdom business to be done, and we have to remember that even in the midst of when our kingdom here on earth, in terms of the United States of America, is being shook, and it's definitely been shook all year. It's been being shaken for years. But how do you deal with that? Pastoring in Perilous Times is kind of the name of the show today at Theology Thursday with my good friend, Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church in Raleigh, which has been open for a while. And then, you know, then who shows up in the church one day? Well, it's Eric Trump. And who shows up again? Charlie Kirk, and talking about politics. And then this is something people need to hear. The first time I came and heard you preach at the other location. Mm. I think I told you this recently. Mm. And you were preaching through David's life. And that day you were talking about David and Bathsheba. And you made this comment, and you're going to deny it, but I was there. You redefine. I want to make sure everybody understands the definition, the biblical definition of adultery for you Clinton voters.
I never said that. I don't remember saying
and
that.
So then I asked you after that, after the service, I said, how long did it take? Because Chad's always been a very bold pastor, okay? How long did it take that you didn't have to keep defending yourself? And you said it took about 3 years, and you knew that God had placed you in the right church with the right people because you no longer had to defend yourself. Your church would defend you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've always said for years now, Pastor Chad, and one of the reasons we're at your church is because you're not afraid of your congregation. Mm-hmm. Fear the Lord, and that's it. And then if people don't want that kind of boldness in the name of the Lord, then go somewhere else.
Well, and all joking aside, if I didn't have pastors that supported me,
right.
elders and deacons, it would be an uphill battle. I'd still do it. I'd still be bold.
Yeah.
But it makes it so much easier having leadership
yeah.
that is of one mind, you know. So, but, you know, and I've had pastors tell me recently, Pastor, I don't think you should have gotten political. Not my pastors, outside pastors.
Yeah.
You should not have gotten political. These are the same guys that supported Black Lives Matter Incorporated. They don't realize that's political.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have a friend that preached a sermon on Jesus overturning the tables in the temple and using that to justify the rioting downtown.
Oh,
sometimes
man.
We need to do it. That's political. So don't tell me you've not yeah. been political. People yeah. have been political.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, so we were talking about handling what's been going on the last 48 hours in the flesh,
yeah.
which was anger.
Yeah.
You and me both.
Yeah.
And then you had 3 points that you wanted to make about how do you kind of turn this around and handle this biblically?
Okay, so in my flesh, I violated Psalm 37:1. Don't get heated, chara in Hebrew. Don't get heated when you see the wicked prosper in their ways. I did that. God kind of raked me over the coals. And 3 responses. Number one, the sovereignty of God. Is God sovereign? Is he in control or is he not? I'm going to read this. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's a grammatical connection between verses 6 and 7. They aren't two separate sentences. Verse 7 is a subordinate clause, which means this. How do I humble myself before God? How do I say, God, you're in charge. God, you're in control. How do I humble myself? I do it, verse 7, by casting all my cares upon God. So if I'm still carrying around this burden of the election, I have not given that to God.
Right,
what I'm
yeah.
saying is, God, I don't trust you enough to release this to you. Either God is sovereign, he's in charge, he's in control, or he's not. And I can tell you real quickly, if you really believe God is sovereign, if 2 days after the election, we're still bellyaching and griping and getting upset and biting our fingernails to the quick, you don't believe God is sovereign. You can say, when you complain and
right,
grumble,
right.
what you're saying is,
things
did not go my way,
yep.
therefore, God is not sovereign, he is not good. And so I told my church last night, I said, guys, I'm giving you till noon tomorrow to get the bellyaching out of your system. If you're still grumbling after noon on Thursday, you're saying, we don't believe God is sovereign,
yeah.
he is in control.
That's exactly right. And with that, you know, because you go, look at World War II, look at Vietnam, look at Korea, look at 9/11, look at all these things, you go, yeah. Where's the Lord in all of this? God is sovereign, and either you believe it, and now you got to be like James. You show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Same thing on the abortion issue, which I always appreciate. You're so strong on that. You show me your pro-life faith by what you say,
yeah.
I'll show you my pro-life faith by what I do.
Yeah.
You can say you're pro-life,
yeah.
but what do you actually do about it?
So go back to this reporter who called me up. if I would have said to him, he checked on me yesterday, Chad, you're an evangelical. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, really, sounds like
Are you okay? Are you okay? If I would have said, oh, God, I'm not. I'm depressed. I'm down. What does that say to a lost world when I who say I believe God is sovereign
yeah.
am now griping? And, you know, God brings, I'm going to share this on Sunday. There was a devastating series of tornadoes in the upper Midwest years ago, devastated, killed many, many people.
Yeah.
There was a doctor and his sons that worked overtime to take care of people after that tornado. And the people said, you guys are so great. A man said, I'm going to build you guys a clinic. Well, that doctor's name was Mayo. The clinic became the
wow.
Mayo Clinic. And now we save many times over more lives
yeah.
that were killed than that were killed in that tornado. God brought something good out of
yeah.
something bad. And so, number one, God is sovereign.
Amen.
And let me share this other story as well. Bruce Larson was a psychologist in New York City. He said, when people would come to me with anxiety and fear, I'd ask them, are you a Christian? If they'd say yes, I'd say, let's leave our building here. I'm going to walk you down Fifth Avenue. He said, I'd walk them down Fifth Avenue, and I'd take them. I've seen this before. There's a statue of Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the world on
Huge.
His shoulders.
Yep.
He's gritting,
yep.
gritting, trying to keep that up. He says, you can live your life like that. And he said, I would take them across the street to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there's a little statue there of Jesus as a boy, and he's holding his hands like this, and the world is in his hands. And he said, or you can live your life like that. And so to your listeners, I'm saying, you can live your life like Atlas.
Yeah.
The weight of the election
right.
is on your shoulders, or you can live your life like this. Jesus is in charge. He's in control. Release it to him. So, number one, God is sovereign.
Now, let me add something to that, because we have time.
All right.
With trusting in and relying on and leaning into God's sovereignty, that does not then give you a license to apathy.
Right.
It does not give you a license to be what I used to be, which is an abandonment theology guy, which
yeah.
is, hey, I read the end of the book and we win, yeah. So I'm just going to stay over here on the sidelines, take care of me, myself, and I. Watch it all swirl down the toilet, because that's going to happen anyway. Jesus will come back, clean it all up, and I'm just going to preach the gospel over here and disciple. No, this is not a call to abandonment theology.
Yeah.
We engage because people are worth it, society is worth it, the stability of the nation is worth it, because it affects people. And I know, Chad, as we engage the political realm with a biblical worldview, which is what drives us to conservatism, that I know that the things I advocate are good for everybody, whether they know it or not, or whether they agree it or not.
Yeah.
Because God's way is good for everybody, whether you like it or not. If you follow it, it will bless you.
Absolutely.
If you violate it, it will not.
I would say this, I don't think I'm ripping anybody off. If you notice this, nothing is original. We're always ripping other people off, particularly pastors. But I'm going to say this. Here, this just popped in my head. Put forth the effort of an Arminian and have the trust of a Calvinist.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that good?
That's good.
If that's not ripped off of somebody else, that's mine. It's trademark. You can't use it. But I'm serious.
That's definitely
with this election thing, man, I've done this. Man, let's put forth the effort of an Arminian.
Yeah.
Like it's depending on us.
Yeah, go hard,
in the
man.
End, man, God's in charge. He's control. So I'm going to have the trust of a Calvinist. So,
which is how you can actually attain the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just serious.
If that weren't possible, it wouldn't be in there.
I'm going to say it again, and people won't like this. If you're still griping and complaining and living in depression, you do not believe in the sovereignty of God.
Even though we don't know the actual outcome of the election yet.
We don't.
Right.
Yeah. I think I do, but anyway.
We're going to talk about that. Right,
okay,
right.
Yeah.
So just tee up the next one, because we're going to hit the break.
Then number two is the church does best in seasons like this. Mm. I'll be honest with you. The church doesn't do well when we are in power and things are going our way. I have a pastor friend that ministers in Saudi Arabia. He said this, power reveals the true nature of Islam, and weakness reveals the true nature of Christianity.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
I'm glad you didn't try to steal that one, too. That's really good.
That's good.
We're here with Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church in Raleigh. RFA Church in Raleigh. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Theology Thursday, pastoring in perilous times. Heck, living in perilous times for the rest of us. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble with a little quiz for you today on the Steve Noble Show. Theology Thursday, pastoring in perilous times. Somebody that does that quite well, Pastor Chad Harvey here in Raleigh, North Carolina. RFA Church, which you can check them out on Facebook. You can go to their website, which is what? RFAchurch.org? What is
yeah,
it? Do you even know?
Yeah, RFAChurch.org. But we're going to be changing our name to Cross Assembly.
Cross Assembly, starting in January.
Yeah.
And primetime on local, what, ABC?
Are we
allowed to say this yet?
It's still in the works. It's still in the works. You probably just ruined the whole thing, so thanks.
You're welcome. So anyway, my point being, if you are refreshed today by having a pastor that's very bold, obviously, but loves the Lord, great preacher, then you can check out Pastor Chad. You don't have to be here in Raleigh, but if you are, there you go. There's your invitation. My wife and I will be there most of the time when we can get in the door. When they allow us. Anyway, so we're talking about, here's the question. So I said, okay, here's a quiz. Would you, if the kingdom of God were going to expand more in the next 4 years in the United States of America under Joe Biden than under Donald Trump, where would you cast your
vote? Wow, I've not thought about that.
Now, Pastor J.D. Greer, who's here in the Raleigh area, the Southern Baptist president, said this years ago, and I thought it was excellent. It was really a great point. Because I think most pastors want their churches to grow, and you want to be a big mover and shaker. We're all like that. But he said God really dealt with him on that and said, hey, Pastor, hey, J.D., if I decide to have a great movement in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, but I use other churches to do it and not yours, are you still going to praise me?
You just
get called to the carpet. And I think that's a real question. And this is to your next point, is what the church does in dark times is, if the kingdom's going to expand, God will receive more glory, more people will hear the gospel, the church will get stronger, and will have a deeper fidelity to the things of God underneath a Biden administration than a Trump administration, which would you pick? Now you're trading temporal for eternal.
Wow.
And that's a challenge.
Wow. No, that's great. And man, Pastor J.D. is very insightful in that, because I would say if nobody knew their answer, if you were to ask Christians, okay, you can get Biden and the advancement of the kingdom and the gospel just explodes in America, or you get Trump and it kind of stifles the gospel because the church can be fat, sassy, and satisfied, which would you want?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, honestly, most evangelicals would say, give me Trump.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what they would say. And so, listen, the election has absolutely no bearing on the advancement of the gospel, period. This election does not impact the advancement of the gospel. Did I want Trump and everything to turn out a certain way? Absolutely. But again, that's up to God. And my number one job is not to get Trump elected. My number one job is to advance the kingdom of God. And again, historically, I'm going to say it again, it's not for me. Power reveals the true nature of Islam, but weakness reveals the true nature of Christianity. So when we're attacked, when we're marginalized, that's when the church does the best.
So point number one in handling all this, God's sovereignty. Point number two is actually to embrace when things don't go our way.
Absolutely. It's actually, you know, I can't remember who said that, but dark times are good times for the church. Mm. And the number three, you ready for the third one?
Let me go back to the number two.
All right.
So dark times. So look at, remember, Solomon is right. There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
So I've seen this in the Truth Project, which I've taught a number of times, that you look at the history of the world and you look at civilizations and look at ours. So see if this doesn't sound familiar. See if you've read this book before. From bondage to spiritual growth. Okay. From spiritual growth to great courage. From courage to liberty. Okay, we just went from about 1620 to 1776. Okay, from liberty to abundance. Number four, from liberty to abundance. From abundance to complacency. Where did we start to run into complacency? Probably post-war, 1950s.
Yep, yep.
From complacency to apathy, 1960s, 1970s, from apathy to dependence, dependence started, the seeds of that were in the New Deal back in the Great Depression. But from apathy to dependence, we're definitely there. From dependence, where? Back to bondage. And that's happened in every rise and fall of the average age of the greatest civilizations in the history of the world is about 220 years.
Wow.
Which we're already on borrowed time.
Yeah.
There was a guy, Dr. Ken Black, who wrote a book about the rise and fall of civilizations. It was about civilizations in general, not just Rome. And he identified, here's 10 things that have to happen, that always happen, when you see the rise and fall of a civilization. 10 things. And usually they're in order, like we were just going through that list. But he goes, in no time in human history that he could find, did all 10 conditions exist in one place at one time until now, and it's America.
Wow.
And that, Chad, was 20 years ago.
Wow. So here's the thing. We think we're so urbane and smart. We're so stupid, we can't even learn from history. We've got literally centuries upon centuries of examples, and we can't learn from that.
Yeah, wow. Right. Okay, so God's providence.
Yep.
The church flourishes in darker days.
Yep.
And then what's
number number three, and Jesus made it very clear, this is not an option. This comes from Jesus himself. We have to handle adversity. We have to handle our enemies differently than the rest of the world does. Mm-hmm. Listen, the world doesn't board up their businesses when Christians don't get their way. Now, when Antifa, when the left, when they don't get their way, let's board them up. You know, that was the other thing. It's kind of interesting. Again, I got to keep saying this. This reporter was a great guy, man. He could have done a hatchet job. He was really good. But he said, you know, you're talking about the left or blah, blah. Did you know that the FBI says we have to watch out more for white supremacy groups more than the left? They're the actual biggest threat in America. I said, wait a second. Portland was not destroyed by the KKK. 78% of Jewish-owned businesses weren't burned down during the recent L.A. riots right wing. What's going on in downtown Raleigh where we had to board up our business, it isn't because of Christians and the KKK. It's all left-wing stuff. Let the left, let the liberals, let the lost handle the world their way. Bible-believing followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have got to handle things differently. Listen, if we learn anything from the book of Jonah, is that you cannot minister to the people you are bitter at.
Mm.
Jonah is sent to the Ninevites.
Yeah.
He can't serve them because he's bitter toward
them.
And if we're bitter toward a lost and dying world, we can't minister to them.
And then he begrudgingly goes when he gets spit out, right? And he's in there. Could you imagine Jonah preaching the gospel in Nineveh?
Yeah.
I repent.
Yeah.
The kingdom of
heaven. Yeah.
You guys need to repent. And then, okay, fine, Lord.
Yeah.
I shared the gospel. I'm going to go up on a hill. Now I'm going to wait for the mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
Because there's no way these scumbags, these liberals, Democrats, whatever. It's all, forget it. And I'm just going to wait. And then there's a revival and Jonah wants to die.
Yeah.
Like, man. And we got to make sure we're not like that. This is such a great opportunity. When you lose, That provides you an incredible platform.
Absolutely, man. And again, so my friend calls me yesterday. Are you okay, Chad? Yeah, why? Well, because then the electric. No. Man, God's in charge. God's in control. He is sovereign. You're not upset? Well, I'm a little disappointed, but man, God is sovereign. And what I'm hoping that does is speak to the fact that our hope is somewhere else. Man,
yeah.
Listen, I've said this before. For a lost person, earth is as close to heaven as they will ever get. Mm. For a saved person, earth is as close to hell as we'll ever get. We got a better place. We got a wonderful hope. If we really believe that, we've got to handle our adversities differently than the rest of the world. And so that's it. God is sovereign. He is in control. Man, the church does best. We thrive in seasons like this. And number three, we have no choice. Jesus himself said, love your enemies. There's God. Yeah. I mean, rejoice when things don't go your way. That's scriptural.
Yeah. Well, as soon, and if this happens and Joe Biden becomes the next president of the United States, you will hear me flip a switch on this show. You'll hear me flip a switch in my own spirit, my own life. And we will, and I am going to harangue you guys. If Joe Biden is the next president, I will harangue you. To pray for the man.
Absolutely.
To pray for him. Pray for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Pray for Nancy Pelosi. Whatever this crazy mixed up golem in the arcs of hell that are going to be in the cabinet. I'm going to pray for them too because God commands us to. And also I noticed when I finally broke on this one and started to pray for those in authority. Thank you, Jim Young and Capital Commission. Pray1tim2.org. I found that my heart towards the outsider and the people on the other side of the aisle began to soften.
Absolutely, man.
And that was good for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that whole 1 Timothy 2 thing is beautiful. And you know this already. Yeah, but Paul didn't have Nancy Pelosi to pray for. Yeah, he had a guy named Nero that was like making garden torches out of Christians. And so, yeah, if he says to us, pray for it, for that kind of leader, surely we can pray for a Biden.
Exactly right. And that's the amazing thing about Paul's writings. Like Romans 13, submit to the governing authorities. Okay. Well, in his context, who was the governing authority?
Yeah.
That was Nero.
Right.
And
right.
Nero literally put Christians on spike poles, covered them with tar, and lit them up to light his gardens at night. Nero, also a sexual deviant, married one of his horses. Did you know
that? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
And then, of course, with the burning of Rome, blamed that on Christians.
Yep.
I mean, that was crazy. And he said to go, okay, Paul flourished in that. And then called, hey, you guys, could you imagine this in Paul's prayer meeting one Sunday? Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, let's pray for Nero.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That baby-killing, sexual deviant, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we need to pray for him.
Yeah.
And the more you understand about governance and the more you start understanding all that, with my students, I'm like, do you guys understand yet? Week 5, week 6 in class. Do you understand yet the importance of praying for those in authority over us?
Yeah.
You want to get in there and try to deal with that stuff?
Yeah. You know, and it is interesting. The Bible is very, very nervous about a few things. One thing is that the Bible seems to be nervous about is anarchy.
Mm.
We see this in 2 Thessalonians. And so the Bible, basically, the standard of the Bible is this. Bad government is better than no government.
That's exactly right.
And so we got to thank God for government.
Because human depravity in general is worse than Joe Biden in the White House.
Absolutely.
Believe it or
Absolutely.
Not, I know maybe you reject that right now, but trust me, you know that to be true. Just study history just for a little bit, which for far too many people in America would be the first time. But that's another story for another day. This is Steve Noble with Pastor Chad Harvey. The Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, Pastoring in Perilous Times. We'll wrap it up when we come back.
It's good.
There it is. Seth didn't pull that off. That just came up.
Oh, man.
Love isn't always on time. Hey, Mr. Noble, that's not the title of the song. The title of the song is Seth. What is it?
Hold the Line.
Hold the Line by Toto, which contains the line, love isn't always on time. I said, love isn't always on time. And he said, that's a lyric. That's not the title. And that's where we're at today. Hell on earth, Pastor Chad, when our teenagers continue to correct us. Right? That's just the deal.
That's that rebellious
spirit. All right, so here's something that's going on right now that Pastor and Chad and I would highly recommend to all of you is laughter.
Mm.
I think we have to have, I really like talking about, as Christians in this place, at this time, and we did one of our call to worship events at RFA Church a few years ago, and had our main speaker came in. And Messy Grace was the name of the book, Caleb Kaltenbach. And he was raised by his parents divorced. His mom was gay. She ends up being with her lesbian partner. They kind of are raising Caleb. Then his dad eventually comes out of the closet. Then Caleb, by the time he's done with high school, becomes a born-again evangelical Christian.
Wow.
And now And he actually infiltrated a youth group because he wanted to go expose and see why these Christians were so hateful, because he engaged some and saw some nasty stuff at gay pride parades and stuff like that. But then God just did an incredible work. His dad died of cancer but came to Christ beforehand, and his mom's partner died of cancer, and then his mom eventually came to Christ. Just an amazing story. Messy Grace is the book, which is every Christian should read. But when he spoke that night, Pastor Chad, and this is the point, I'm gonna work through this in our last segment. He talked about the tension of the Christian life, and he's got a rubber band. He's right. So he's going through all these apparent discrepancies in the Bible about the way up is the way down and all that kind of, right? We all know that. We hear that kind of stuff. But so, okay, in this world, we live in the here and the now. This is how I usually say it. I moan and groan for the here and the now. I long for the there and the then. And we're stuck in between.
Wow.
And so we should have this peculiar aloofness that when it's all hitting the fan and the government's going south and the deep state is taking over and the media and Black Lives Matter, Inc. and all this stuff, and it's all collapsing, that on one hand, I'm broken and concerned. And then on the other hand, I've got this strange smile, i.e. smirk on my face.
Wow.
And people are like, what's up with that? Like, what's your deal, dude? This is what the Nightline guy, the news guy was saying to you. That's what he was confused by. It's like, I know you care. I mean, you talk about it from the pulpit. I know you care about this, but somehow you're almost detached at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us a really peculiar, I think, winsome platform from which to preach.
Beautiful. No. Hey, look, you know this already. The book of Philippians, Paul writes this in the Praetorian prison. He's chained he's chained to a guard, and yet over and over again, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, Pastor, happiness is dependent upon circumstance. I got it. Whatever. And be happy and joy. Well, however you want to define it, there's something powerful about being joyful in the midst of this stuff. And that's point number three. We handle this thing differently than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And can I do real quickly on Philippians? So Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, I'm chained to a Praetorian guard in the Praetorian prison. And these guards would not only guard people in the basement in the prison, they'd go up and be bodyguards of Caesar's family. Do you know how Paul ends the book of Philippians? All the Christians here in Rome greet you, particularly those of Caesar's
household.
In other words, this guard has guarded me, and he's gone upstairs as I've led him to Jesus. Now he's leading people upstairs to Jesus. God is in charge. He's in control. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so just remember, you've got that flashlight. We were talking about that earlier, and when it gets darker, your flashlight gets brighter. Now, I don't delight in the destruction of my country. I do not, but I do delight in the fact that in darkness, oftentimes the gospel can shine that much brighter.
Absolutely.
And if they know, like, this is the thing that I love about being a born again conservative evangelical Christian that votes Republican, that as soon as the culture outside of that little group knows that's who I am, I know exactly what they expect from me.
Yeah.
So if I show up and walk into that, now let me tell this story. About in 2016, so I did some stuff with CNN, and there was a thing, this was millennials that did a joint venture between Univision and ABC Television. And they came to town, and they wanted to do, it's called Breaking Bread, not Breaking Bad, but Breaking Bread. 3 hours filmed over dinner. It was me, the only conservative born-again Christian, a Republican strategist, one of the top transgender activists in America, one of the top gay activists in North Carolina, and a young woman who was claiming to be transgendered and wanting to transition to a man. 3 hours over dinner to talk about the bathroom bill and all that stuff. So when I got there, and I just got asked like an hour before it happened, they couldn't find anybody else that was willing to do it. Yeah. I mean, I'm always up for that. But I got there, and Dan, the Jewish producer, who was the host, so gracious. Thank you so much for coming, Steve. You bailed me out. Well, this is going to be a train wreck. We had to have a conservative Christian here. It wasn't going to work. And I said, okay, Dan, just so you know, cards on the table. I want to be the last hardcore, super conservative, born again evangelical Christian you ever expected to meet. The last kind.
Yeah.
And he goes, what kind is that? And I smiled and I said, likable.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, all right, okay, whatever. 3 hours later, on my way out, Dan stops me. And here's the point. And there's nothing special about me. The only thing special about me is the Savior that lives inside of me, okay? He stops me on the way out and he goes, well, Steve, let me tell you, You definitely accomplished your goal.
Good.
Never met a super you're obviously very conservative. You disagreed with everybody at the table. But I've never met a Christian like you that you were very likable.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? And Dan's Jewish. I said, you know what, Dan? Thanks for saying that. If you like me, you'd really like Jesus.
Good.
Because I'm like a really bad shadow.
Yeah.
And he goes, I never really thought of him like that before.
Mm.
And I said, you mean personally? He goes, yeah, I've never really thought of him like as an individual.
Wow.
And I said, you need to.
That's great, man.
And
wonderful.
I walked out.
Wonderful.
And you have no idea what God does with that.
Absolutely.
But I look at this whole season as that kind of an opportunity.
Yeah. You know, look, we had this event at the church on that Friday with Eric Trump and the evangelicals, And we had I don't know who the guy is, crazy guy stand up and just start shouting at one of the speakers. Mm-hmm. Just mean, man.
Yeah.
And it finally took a little while for the security to get in. They got him out of there. Very bold, very brash, but just mean. And Lord spoke to me, and it did not audibly. He didn't speak to me audibly. But he said, Chad, look, if you teach your people to be bold, but you don't teach them to be loving, you're going to produce a church full of people just like that.
Wow.
And I don't want that. I want us to be bold and confident, but, man, I want us to be loving. And like you said, the last caricature that any non-evangelical, Bible-believing person would believe is, man, this guy's just nice. You know? I want us to be nice.
Yeah.
Just be nice.
Yeah, and that's takes me back to a Tim Keller thing that rocked my world several years ago and has become a part of my personal walk. He said, if you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. Yeah. Okay, so I know the issues. I pound the pulpit. So I've got that. I'm all truth, but I'm no grace. I'm just a bully.
Yeah.
That's kind of the culture war. That's kind of what we're known for.
Yeah.
Then you got a part of evangelicalism and part of the church that's non-evangelical. They're all grace and no truth.
Right.
And that makes them a coward.
Yeah.
But John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus full of
grace
and
truth.
And
I
then
keep
that
quoting
becomes,
you, man. You ripped that off of Tim Keller.
That becomes
serious.
Very winsome. I ripped that off of Tim Keller.
Okay.
Who, by the way, about 2 weeks ago, I ripped into Tim Keller based on a series of tweets where he was just totally off on the abortion thing. So this is also our role. Pastor Chad, you know this. This is part of our role as the prophetic edge in this world.
Yeah.
And to do good service to our nation. Is that we call balls and strikes based on the word of God.
Absolutely.
And it should not ever matter who's standing at the plate.
Exactly. And here's the thing, man. I'm trying to, Darla said, don't say this. I won't say names, but I will say, we can't just say to the church, sit in the corner and treasure Jesus and everything will be all right.
No.
I'm all for treasuring Christ. But with that blog that you know I'm talking about came out and basically gave Christians permission to not take a prophetic strong stand on issues because Donald Trump is a mean guy.
Because Donald Trump has four qualities in the Greek that are not nice.
Yeah. I just have a problem.
Well, in the same episode, full disclosure, I totally ripped into John Piper's article.
I didn't say that name.
I know you didn't. I did. I started with Keller, then I went to Piper, and then I shared the story, the letter that Pastor Rob McCoy, who was also recently at RFA Church, is one of the brave pastors in California, wrote to a mega church in California where they said, we don't get involved with politics. And like you said earlier, he said, yes, you do.
Yeah.
You already are.
Yeah.
And he rebuked him. I did all three of those in one thing. And so yeah, I mean, that's where we got to be bold as a lion, man.
Absolutely.
The lion and the lamb, both.
Grace and truth, brother. I love it, man. I love it. But look, sum it up. God's in charge. Steve, he is in control. Did he consult me before Tuesday night? No. And had he, I probably would have asked him to go a little different direction.
Yeah, of course.
But if you really believe he's got a plan, if you really believe God is sovereign, you've got to just release this thing to him. He knows what he's doing. And again, if I was a Trump guy, fight. Send your lawyers out there. Fight. Do what you need to
absolutely,
do.
Absolutely, yeah.
But in the end, man, in the end, God is sovereign.
You surrender yourself to God's sovereignty. So if you have the reverse Bible, it says, not thine will, but mine be done.
Yeah.
Or I can do all things through me who strengthens
me.
You know, I can play that game all day long. But again, like you said, you got to trust in God's sovereignty. And the church does thrive in darker days. And then what was point number three?
Point number three, we've got to handle this thing differently than the rest of the world. We can't go burn down our cities and pitch temper tantrums, man. We've got to handle things differently if we're going to draw people to Jesus.
Yeah, my son, our oldest son's 25, just moved to San Francisco, got a job out there. Walking with the Lord, doesn't hold, he holds some of the same political positions as mom and dad. He's very pro-life and other things. Sexual ethics, all great, but he had different positions. Another thing, he called me on my way here. And he said, Dad, how you doing? And I said, I'm fine. You are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. If I were to tell you anything other than I'm fine, then I would be dereliction of duty of my calling as a Christian. So, am I upset? Am I disappointed? Sure. But in the grand scheme of things, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Amen. Very good.
My Savior is fine. Our Father is on the throne, and he's not pulling his hair out.
And Revelation says, one day the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever and ever.
Amen. Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church. Great. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Man, it's been my privilege. Thanks, Steve.
We'll do it again. RFAChurch.org is the website, RFAChurch.org. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, listen closely, ever forward.